Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody doing? This is Motown Maurice. Welcome to Motown Maurice's Hustle. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I certainly can, and you know what it's about. Yes, indeed. I have a fantastic guest that is on the line patiently waiting today, and I cannot wait to talk to him. He's a good friend of mine. He is a professional actor, and he is definitely an activist working hard to change the world as we see it today. He is a celebrity, director, producer, writer, actor, dancer, musician, originally from Sugar Land, Texas, and Perth, Australia, who has been based in Los Angeles since 2004. He is also the CEO of Lovely Stone Productions. As the performer, he's been in several television shows, and he has guest and starred in many appearances. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together, make some noise to my good friend, Liam Stone. Liam Stone. Hey. How you doing?
Thank you, Motown. Thank you, everybody. My name is Liam Stone, and I'm happy to be on this show, man. Just chilling. I appreciate this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to talk to you. I mean, we've met less than a year ago at the Trey Stage, Next Stage, off on Sunset and La Brea. And, I just appreciate you acknowledging me. Little did I know, I'm talking to a man that this guy approached me after doing a little dog boy scene on stage. But little did I know when I did
Motown
my research.
Motown is amazing, man. He played in a show called The Vampire Diaries. And I actually starred in one of the plays there, and that's how we met. Seven Deadly Sins is one that I played in. Motown impressed me because of just your energy. It's your energy and your attitude, bro. And then it was a funny thing. We both got hired by Fox, if you remember, for the Fuel TV Network for the
Skyball
League. We both auditioned for the Skyball League show. That's I don't think it's aired yet, but I think IMDb just put it on recently. So that's for the Fox Sports Network Fuel TV. You keep an eye out for both Motown and myself on that show.
Yes. And when we met, little did I know how, you know, prestigious your credits were. I mean, you have been in the industry for a very long time. You've been working since you were about 2 years old, and you're still working, and you're making some great things happen. So I'm just honored to know
and to receive accolades
from you.
Thank you. And you
thank
know what?
You.
Like I always say, it takes one to know one, Motown. It really does.
So I'm thriving to build my credits like you. But I want to talk about your recent projects. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know about Liam Stone, you can Google him, you can IMDb him, you can YouTube him, because he has been in the industry for quite a while. Look up Liam Stone. But right now, we couldn't talk about everything you got going on, but we're going to talk about
IMDb. Before you go on, it's not usually accurate because it's not controlled by industry professionals. It's controlled by fans. So there's like for every one credit that a talent has, especially if you're for performing side, you've probably done 10 other ones.
Wow.
So just remember that for anybody. So let's say if someone like a really established person who's been in the industry probably 20 years more than me, like Keanu Reeves, he probably has, 200 credits? So multiply that by 10. So that means that's how many things he's done that isn't even listed. Isn't that
that's
something to keep in mind? Yeah. Look
that's
at yourself.
True.
Look at your own IMDb. Yeah, you've probably done way more than what was listed on there.
I barely even exist on IMDb, but it's all good.
You've done a lot.
Exactly.
You got your own late night show, man. That's awesome. I really appreciate that.
No doubt.
I think you're the rest of the world needs right now.
Well, thank you. And
it'll happen.
And once by the time this interview is over, everyone will know how important you are as an Avenger for making change in this world today. So you are an Avenger indeed.
All right. Before
we talk about that, I want to talk about the reboot of this Quentin Tarantino project that you recently featured in. Is it Inglourious Basterds?
I actually starred in it, Motown. I wasn't featured in it. I was a star.
My apologies.
Not that it means anything. It's just everybody has their parts. I was, you want me to talk about that? Or
please, extend the information. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun thing. What happened was I was originally cast to play the Bear Jew, which what Eli Roth's character played in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. It's an LAFS reboot version of it, which is a production by the Los Angeles Film School, where some of the top filmmakers teach there, as well as with our future generation of young filmmakers. And I ended up the director's name is Howard Lee, and a very fine young director. It was his very first piece. And I ended up being asked to play the lead, which is the part of Brad Pitt, the part that Brad Pitt played in the original Glorious Bastards. Aldo Raine, a Nazi killing hillbilly from the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. It turned out with a very professional shoot. It was a wonderful experience, and it's actually online now. It's being seen. Everybody can watch it right now. You just Google Liam Stone, and then the thing that'll come up top would be the Liam Stone fan site, and you can click on that. You don't have to have a Facebook account to watch it, from what I understand, because it's a public page that Facebook did for me as a public figure, as an artist. And click on the wall, and then right underneath, I think it says Mark Zuckerberg verified official celebrity account or whatever. And underneath, and by the way, I don't have full control of that account. They just tell me what's up. So I don't know who my fans are or anything. So if I don't get back, because Facebook doesn't let me know, exactly who clicked like or whatever. It's a brand new page, and there'll be a little box that says Inglourious Basterds Rehearsal Workshop. So it's done with younger actors. So instead of eight Jewish American soldiers, we had, four Jewish American soldiers. But since I can't get none, I'm stuck with you. Boop, 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 boop. So I don't know. It's a rated PG. I couldn't say bad words. So anyway, it is rated R. It's Quentin Tarantino, so there'll be some cuss words in that. So
nice.
Just a warning, it's a rated R clip. It's a rated R clip for, it is. It's just like the original Inglourious Basterds, except younger actors, young director, very fine director in my opinion. I hope he keeps directing. He'll have a great future ahead. And
what's the director's name?
His name is Howard Lee. He's fantastic. In fact, right after the shoot, he invited me to a Trojans football game. He's a big USC Trojans fan. And for the first time in my life, I was in the same space with George Lucas.
Wow.
So I'm a big fan of George Lucas as well in terms of in film, as well as Akira Kurosawa, who is one of George Lucas's mentors. I'm also a filmmaker, so that's why I'm CEO of Lovingly Productions. Publicly, if you look me up, I'm known primarily like Brad Pitt, a performer, but I actually write and direct and produce a lot of different things, and many of the times I choose to not be credited. Just my choice. So,
cool. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very, very nice project. Make sure you all check it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, just go online and check it out. And if you like it, I'm going to just say it again. We're doing we're raising donations for an incredible project to help end cancer treatment abuse. And instead of sending us the money, because the LAFS is a nonprofit organization, send donations to Dr. Liu, Aloha Liu at Yahoo. That's DrLiuAlohaLiu at Yahoo.com via PayPal. It could be 30 cents, a dollar, or $1 million. Doesn't matter. We have a $35 million goal for the next 18 months, U.S. dollars. That's how we're going to measure it in right now. So please tell all your friends. Just it can be any amount. It will go to good causes, okay?
Fantastic, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen,
you're
this is Motown Maurice.
You're going to say
yes,
that again.
Yes, indeed. We're going to say it over and over. This is Motown. This is Motown Maurice. And I have
That's
the professional
right.
and fantastic Liam Stone on the line. And we got a caller that is on the line that wants to talk to you. So you are
cool.
a caller from area code 562. And you are on the line right now with Liam Stone. What's your question or your comment?
Hi, Liam Stone. This is Sunshine. How are you?
Hey, Sunshine. Thanks for calling and talking with me. I appreciate that.
No problem. Hi, Motown. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Where's 562?
Huh?
Where's 562 area code?
It's in Long Beach.
All right. Yeah, I thought it sounded familiar.
I listen to Motown's show all the time when I have time, and I don't always, but I'm really glad I tuned in today.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you're here.
I was looking at your pictures.
Fantastic. Great
and
guy.
I pulled you up on the IMDb. And the question I have for you is, are those pictures, like, there's one of you here in a cowboy hat. Right?
Which one's that? There's so many.
Well, okay, there's one of you here in a cowboy hat and a nice business suit, and when you pulled out your Tennessee accent.
That Motown put up. Yeah, yeah.
those are great pictures, and you talked in Tennessee accent, made me feel like I was right at home. But then there's this.
Are you from Tennessee?
no, but I do a lot of roles. You'd think I was. I sing Loretta Lynn music. I sing
All
Miner's Daughter.
Yeah, that I played. The last two roles that I did was the Brad Pitt, the Aldo Rain, he's from Tennessee, and then I did a pilot for SAG recently where it's a Bickle, the magician clown, also the sheriff of the town, also kind of that type of a character. So it's
like
kind
fun.
Of in me right now, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Well, you've got a picture here, and this is what I wanted to ask you. If this is the same person, you've got a picture here where you're laying on a bed in jeans and a leather jacket and a hat, and I'm just trying to figure out you – are there all five of those pictures, did you send those to Motown Maurice to put up on his blog thing? Are those all you?
I did not send them. Motown went ahead and picked the pictures of me that he liked. So, yes, they're all me.
Are those all him? Man, you've
they're
got an amazing
yes,
versatile
are.
Look.
They
you look
are
like
all
different.
Me, yes. That's the magic of show business. You can, you know, change your character and appear any way you want. I mean, look at J. Edgar with Leonardo DiCaprio. He just played J. Edgar Hoover. He looks nothing like
Fitting.
Himself.
I have... Wow.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine him. Not. I can't imagine him doing that. Not after that other movie where I've pigeonholed him. How sad. I should know better, but I've
right.
pigeonholed that guy
yeah.
to be the young, cute little guy forever. I can't help it.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm hoping to play Dr. Rife. I mean, we look a little bit alike in the face, but like every role that I played, you know, it's a different kind of character. So as an entertainer, as an artist, you know, musician, whatever, I just call myself an entertainment professional. You know, my job is to just basically take on whatever that character is. And one of the things is to visually change our look because we are in a visual industry. So one of the things to do is through various techniques, whether it be makeup, channeling of a personality or energy or whatever, camera angles, is to recreate a character. That's
have you
so,
done that? Have you done any theater?
Yeah, in fact, that's how Motown and I met. We met doing stage together.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Well, see,
yeah,
here's the thing.
I started from
but
the
I've...
stage since I was little, since I was very young. So. My background is actually in music, I started out, I have had formal training in acting, but I've had more formal training as a musician and as a dancer. So I've done things from a very young age, such as, you know, I played Danny Zuko's character in Grease on stage. You
oh,
know,
my.
That's John Travolta's character. I played Marlon Brando's character in Guys and Dolls, you know.
Wow.
The one. Yeah, so, you know, look. Be a lady tonight, that one, you know.
My goodness.
So, right. So I've done a lot of stage, a lot of music. I actually am a professionally trained cellist. For a while, I wanted to be a member of the Boston Symphony playing the cello. That didn't happen. I also wanted to be a professional baseball player and a NASA astronaut. See, growing up in that sector there, Sugar Land, there's Houston, I grew up thinking I was going to be an astronaut. You know,
and
but,
you're
going to
climb up.
That didn't happen because I you know, my vision became not 20/20. I think in third grade, and at that time you had to have perfect, and still do, I think you have to have perfect vision to be a military pilot. You know, I fly aircraft, but I not as a military pilot. You know, in combat, you have to have perfect vision from back then in the 80s or whatever. You know, I don't know if it's changed now, but you know, when late 80s, early 90s, for sure you had to, you know, have that perfect vision to even apply to go to that kind of a schooling, you know.
Yeah,
but
I remember that. Well, because I know I need to get off the phone so you guys can get back to your show.
Cool. I love talking to you, Sunshine.
But don't hang up. The reason for my call.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy without the pain.
I'll never know, dear, how much you love me. I won't take
you.
Wanted to tell you.
Thank you for the question. Yeah, if you look online, there's many pictures of me, and a lot of people are like, is that the same person? And
I was going to tell you, those guys that he picked are very versatile, and they show a wide range, and that's one of the reasons I called in and looked you up on the IMDb. And the other thing is, since you brought up that you've done theater, I just got, and I've not done a lot of theater, and I just got a murder mystery lead role. And so when you were talking about changing your character's looks, I thought that was huge, because I've noticed that my characters all have blonde hair. What should I do, get a wig?
Yeah, it's fine. And this is what I think, okay? This is just my opinion. I think a lot of people get misunderstand, like, in the commercial realm, they tend to want a person to be a certain type, physical type. So you get cast for a certain physical type. Or, like, let's say early in one's career in film and television, a person is known to be a certain physical type, color of hair, height, race, whatever, regional, okay? But then after a while, when you start working on in the theatrical realm, whether it's on stage or whether it's, let's say, you know, in a theatrical film, then at that point, those of us who come from a stage background where we can play any character, right, that element comes back. So for commercials, obviously, it's going to stay, you're going to stay a certain type because – the people casting are not, they're not, you know, they're not movie makers, or they're businesses and corporations, so they want to sell their product. So then they have a specific, you know, physical type they're looking for. But, yeah, wear a blonde wig. I mean, if your character's a blonde, wear a blonde wig. I mean,
here's what the casting director said, or actually, she's the director, and she said, no, just bring what you got, what you think could make the role fun. Well, I'm already fun when I walk in the room. Just ask Motown Maurice. He hasn't even met me, and he still laughs at me. But
you got a great voice. You got a great personality, and I think that's all that matters. Is just bring yourself, and like I'll tell you, you know, and you never know what a person really is like. Like the second film I was ever asked to be in. And this was just as recent as 2006. It was the second major 20th Century Fox, like, major film I was in. Was Monique's Fat Girls, Phatgirls, you know, where she plays the, like, So I played her sex fantasy dream guy at the beginning. It was originally rated R, but then they made it PG-13, so our sequence got put in slow-mo, dialogue was taken out, so it wouldn't be so risque. But, like, working with Monique, I'm a fan of hers. I watch her on The Parkers. I watch her on Evening at the Apollo as the hostess, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, her attitude's like, I hate skinny bitches, you know, like that. But when I actually worked with her, she's a very lovely, lovely, demure lady. Am I going to get in trouble, Monique, for telling people that? And then shortly, about a year after or 2 years after we worked together on Fat Girl, she won the Academy Award. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Her public persona from my point of view, this is my experience of this lovely lady, is not the same as what she is in real life as well. So that's also like, because we're talking about how, you know, you saw pictures of me online in Revamped, which is an 80s kickback with all these 80s stars that was made a couple of years ago. I had long blonde hair, you know, with I played a vampire. So I looked a lot like Heath Ledger, but with dark hair, people say I look like Roy Rogers or Joe. I've been mistaken for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, through a bunch of times since Inception came out. And I even told Joe, I said, I've been mistaken for you 3 times. I just signed your name when people thought it was you, and he thanked me. So I don't know if you saw Inception or not. That just came out. Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. I don't think, just my opinion, it's like, I think it's more our personality that's important. It's our energy. And who
if
really
Monique hears that, I'm sure she'll just say, oh, I paid him to say that.
Well, no, she probably doesn't let anybody know she's nice.
Oh, no, I know.
So
that's what she, yeah, well, yeah, you get what you pay for.
She's not mean at all. She's really cool. She's a very lovely, newer personality, like very quiet, at least, you know.
And I hate to break it to her, but her reputation's out because people that know her know that. But anyway, yeah, she's got a persona.
That's my experience of Monique. So maybe she was mean to somebody else. I don't know.
Maybe she just thought you were a hottie.
Maybe. I don't know. But, well, you know, all of us, there were, I think, 5 of us total. We were all young, like up-and-coming leading men at that time. And she was cool with all of us. I mean, there was a African-American model at the time. He was really hitting it big, Alton DeMore Willoughby. He was a good friend of mine. We kind of clicked, and we stayed in touch for a while after the movie. And then Charles Barkley, the baseball player, basketball player?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley. His cousin, Thomas Charles Barkley III, was one of the sex fantasy manservants. So you can kind of look at him, he kind of looks like Charles a little bit, but younger and thinner, you know. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. We shot that at the Pantages Theater, you know, like where I think they're showing Wicked there right now, or they will be, you know, the Pantages.
But you guys go so you can finish your show. Thank you for taking my call, Motown.
Oh, of course. Always for you, Sunshine.
Talking to you, Liam. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And good luck, man. Thanks for congratulations on your new show.
Oh, thanks. I hope you get to see the Tim and Eric $1 million movie. I was on that, too. That's coming out in 2012.
Well, yeah, send it to Motown, and I'm going to go to your show if I can. I always go to friends.
Liam, he
keeps
wanting me to do his show. It's going to take me 3 weeks. Now, in about 3 weeks in January, I can do his show.
Yeah, your stage show. Let me see you play the blonde character. It'll be fun.
It's one of those, you know, those private parties where like the Mormon Church pays to do something. No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even invite Clem Pennington from the Drifters. It's just a private party. The good thing is, it's going to get, you know, different venues. Then I can invite people, and
yeah.
I will.
So definitely, Sunshine. Go online and watch my most recent performance on LAFS, which is the Inglourious Basterds, where I play Brad Pitt's part. And that's on the air right now. So you can go there online and watch it anytime, and you'll hear the Tennessee Millbilly thing. And then if you can, get people to donate to Dr. Leo Aloha Leo at yahoo.com for the cancer abuse prevention thing. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
Cancer treatment. Yeah?
Can you call me LAF as in Frank? F as in Frank?
I'm sorry? What are you talking about?
Website. I'm not catching you. What are you saying? What is the website?
Oh, no. Inglourious Basterds. Just Google Liam Stone, and it'll be at the Liam Stone Facebook. Facebook created a public profile page for me, and it'll be like marked
for you.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it, and it's on the wall. And then you can want to write down there's a special email account that you can send donations to. For the World Rife Project, which is to end cancer treatment abuse. So that's DrLiuAlohaLiu, like a Hawaiian doctor, right? Dr. Liu, Aloha Liu, at yahoo.com. And then just anybody via PayPal can make any donation of any amount. Cool?
All right. Cool.
Okay, you now said, listen, I got another call, and I didn't want you thinking I was being rude. I got to take But I'm going to look you up, and I'm going to like that page. It's Inglourious Basterds on Facebook.
Thank you, Sunshine.
Yeah, it's actually just Google Liam Stone. It's up right now. cool.
All right. Thanks, Sunshine.
Bye.
Thanks, Sunshine.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Hustle and Shuffle with Sunshine and Liam Stone. Motown left the building, ladies and gentlemen. And maybe I think I'm back now. I am back now. That was fantastic. I just sat back and listened to y'all talk. I mean, it wasn't my show anymore. It was y'all's show. But I enjoyed that. I loved it. I loved it. But I'm back now. And we got about 4 minutes left of this show. I want you to go ahead and talk to the actor right now. Talk to the actor that that makes excuses. Talk to the actor that thinks negative about his career. How can you encourage him? Get that evaporated from his mind, please.
Well, here's the thing: is if you're an actor, my you know, advice, if there's anything that I can think of, the best advice I can give you as a loving fellow entertainer is, I would say, don't think of yourself just as an actor. Think of yourself as an entertainment, a full-service entertainment professional. And then if you want to do something, just do it. Don't make any excuses like, you know, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too black or too white, I'm too Australian or not Australian enough, or I'm too Jewish or not Jewish enough, or I'm too gay or I'm not gay enough. You know what I mean? It could be anything, or I don't have enough money. That's, I think this is not just true for actors, but for people in general. Money is usually the scapegoat for why we do or do not do anything. Don't do that. Just do. And I'm in the same boat as everybody else. I got to tell myself this moment by moment, every day. Say, hey, man, if I want to do something, I'm going to do something. And just do it. Don't think that, oh, it's not my type. Just go for what it is that you love to do. And another thing is, as an entertainment professional, do your best to do what you love. And at the same time, keep in mind that we're here for other people. We're here to you know, make other people laugh and to encourage every single person, whether it be a million people at one time or the person I'm talking to right across the, you know, right nose to nose to me at that moment. And if we can focus on that, those type of things, like just, you know, I'm here to be of service to everyone else. And at the same time, do my passion and not make any excuses, then the journey is the reward. We hear this all the time. It's not when I get my Academy Award or when I get that. It's this very moment. Like right now, Motown, you and I are enjoying ourselves. We're doing a show on the internet radio. This is fantastic, man. This is the reward. Do you know what I'm saying? The journey, the pathway, is the reward, and that would probably be the best advice I'd give any entertainer, including myself.
Indeed.
To try to keep that in mind, moment by moment. You know,
it's not the destination; it's the journey. That's
the
it.
Journey is the destination. Like right now, we already made it. Man, you, Motown, you and I, we've arrived, man.
We have arrived.
We're still having fun. That the other day.
Yes. And you continue to have fun. Real quick, you got to give a shout out to Bella. Please give a shout out to Bella. You know, you introduced me to Bella over the weekend at
Bella
the Expo.
Bella is my service animal. Yeah, she's my service animal, and she just appeared in the last pilot that I was in. She played the sheriff's police dog, which is my character, was Biffle, the magician clown, kind of in a Circus du Soleil type character. So I played that character sort of like a cross between Heath Joker and an old TV series called Gomer Pyle, USAMC. So Bella was asked to be in the show, and she's a wonderful dog, a wonderful service animal, which means she travels with me on the set, on the airplane, and she's a government-trained military dog from before. So now she's in showbiz like myself. So that's what's been going on. And I, hi, Bella. She's actually... She's actually right there. She's with me right now. So yeah, Bella's she looks kind of like a big version of the dog from The Little Rascals, sort of, you know. Mm-hmm. But she's not really a Stafford Terrier or a Pit Bull. She's actually half American Bulldog and half Labrador Retriever. But she looks more like the bulldog side.
Fantastic.
Great dog. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Liam Stone, one more time, just tell them how they can find you and how they can make a donation to your cause.
So with me, you know, like any other entertainer that's public, a public figure. You can Google my name, Liam, L-I-A-M, Stone, S-T-O-N-E. And the most recent acting job that's now on the air, produced by LAFS, which is the Los Angeles Film School, where I star in a, there's a two-minute clip of Inglourious Basterds. You just go to the Liam Stone fan site and click wall, and underneath where it says, there's like a barcode that says Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook approved, official celebrity, some whatever. That just means that I have access to that page. I don't control it really completely. And then underneath that, there's a little block, and it'll say Inglourious Basterds Rehearsal Workshop. It's a really fine two-minute piece. Go and watch that, and especially if you like it or even if you don't, send any donations to the Roll Rife Project. Roll Rife, when 1934, was a speedboat racer and a servant that cured cancer, AIDS, and diseases using radio frequencies. And just now, because of the Internet, like we're on the Internet radio, people are finding out the truth. And I actually ordered my Rife technology machine from Germany because it had been banned in this country due to, you know, political reasons. And so anyway, we're doing a charitable venture toward that. And that you can send any donations to Dr. Liu, DrLiuAlohaLiu, at yahoo.com via PayPal. So we made it complicated on purpose because we really want people who are passionate who will, like, write it down and look it up. So, so on the Liam Stone Facebook fan site, please click like. It's brand new. There's only, like, 211 people. They had just set it up. And leave a message for me, like post something on the wall, because Facebook does not tell me who clicked like unless they send a message, and then we'll contact you from like our private email or whatever. Cool?
Sounds great. Liam Stone, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You are a fantastic individual, wonderful talent, and I really appreciate you just being there to encourage me and go along the journey with me. It has been really a fantastic ride.
And you know what? It's always a journey, bro.
Always.
It's always a journey. It never ends. And
yes.
No matter whether it's we're doing it now or, like, let's say 5 years from now, we're doing it on network TV, there's no difference. It's the same.
It's
no different. And in fact, the future of entertainment is on the Internet. That's
exactly.
The big thing. And you're already on. You're already in the future. You're already on, man.
And that reminds me, I do have a question for you. You have time for one more question?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Liam Stone, my question for you is, do you know who the future of late-night television is?
Yeah, well, there's this guy that I know, and I'm lucky enough to know him as I would call him my friend, personal friend. I think he's from Tampa, Florida, man. And he's a good-looking brother. His name is Motown Maurice, and he does talk shows in a way that no one else does it. He is in a way that no one I've ever seen do it, and I believe this guy is the future of all talk shows, whether it's late night or prime time, it doesn't matter. Or, you know, I think he knows what's up, man. He's got a wonderful personality. He's open and cool and just a loving dude. I've always seen this guy. Oh, that's you, isn't it? Motown Maurice is the future of not just late night the talk show, but prime time too. So you're already in the future, man. This is everything is going toward the Internet. This is a global community we're in now. It's no longer just one nation. So.
Liev, you are the best. I am better.
To all your fans in China, Chiketty, man.
Chiketty. Thank you, Liam. You are the best. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Let's go skateboarding together or something soon, all right?
Let's do that. Take care.
All right.
Okay, bye. Peace.
Bye.
Woo! That was Liam Stone, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know him, you know him now. If you didn't know him beforehand, you know him now without a doubt. He is everywhere, and he's got much to talk about, as you can see. Thank you very much, Liam Stone, for being a guest on my show, and thank you for that very flattering answer on who is the future of late-night television. According to Liam, I am not only the future of late-night television, I am the future of primetime television and talk shows all in one, or something like that, he said. So, this is Motown Maurice. Check me out on my blog, MotownMaurice.com. What an honor to be interviewing Liam Stone. Give a shout-out to Bella for me. Give a shout-out to Allison. Thank you so much, once again, Liam Stone. This is Motown Maurice. Check out my blog, MotownMaurice.com. Until next time, take care. Peace, love, and blessings. Bye.